Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I wanted to finish up where I left off last week. You know, I was discussing the interfaith movement in some of the recent news articles. And I was I had several articles pertaining to the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church that I wasn't able to finish. In fact, I just got my foot in the door on the first article, which was entitled Antichrist. Pope Francis tells Catholics in Rome that a personal relationship with Jesus is dangerous and harmful. This article is by Jeffrey Greider. And I want to continue from last week on page 2, some of the comments from the article. It says, Pope Francis told the Italian newspaper La Repubblica that the United States of America has a distorted vision of the world, and Americans must be ruled by a world government as soon as possible for their own good. The article goes on to say, the week before, he also called for a one-world government and political authority, arguing that the creation of the one world government is needed to combat major issues such as climate change. The author of this article says, sorry, Frankie, Pope Francis, but the only relationship with Jesus that can save your soul is an intimate, personal, and direct relationship with the one who bore your sins on the cross at Calvary. In fact, it is the Catholic Church that keeps people from becoming saved, and I couldn't agree more. Now, the next article, of course, is right down, you know, in the same vein. And this one is by Jerry Ungerian, and this is entitled Pope Francis, the U.S. needs to be ruled by world government for their own good, as, you know, as I just quoted from the other article. She goes into a little more depth. You know, I kind of added my own comments, as I am wont to do. I said, I suppose we should all convert to the Roman Catholic Church for our own good and maybe take the mark of the beast for our own good. You know, as long as we're going to be ruled by a world government, why not? Let's just go all in, right? So anyway, moving on in the article, Pope Francis, a very different kind of pope. It says, from the time that Pope Benedict the 16th step down and the new pope was chosen, most people knew that we were witnessing something very unique. No pope had resigned in 500 years, or it could be 600 years, I read somewhere, and Pope Francis was the first Jesuit pope ever. Soon we would be shocked further by Pope Francis becoming a spokesperson for global warming. His words were so appalling at times. I wrote many articles, she said, asking if we could possibly be looking at the false prophet. The Pope Francis, world government must rule U.S. for their own good. She requotes the quote. Pope Francis told the Italian newspaper La Repubblica that the United States of America has a distorted vision of the world and they must be ruled, as I said before, for their own good. Now, and I would say if this man turns out to be the false prophet, then he should be tossed in the lake of fire as soon as possible for everybody's good. But we know that wouldn't take place for a while, even if he does turn out to be that individual. And I don't like to speculate on who is the Antichrist and who is the false prophet. But I'll tell you, the way things are going, you can't help but wonder as we watch the jigsaw pieces of the puzzle coming together, and this confluence of activity. Now, further on, it says, the danger concerns immigration, the Pope continued to the La Repubblica. Our main and unfortunately growing problem in the world today is that of the poor, the weak, the excluded, which includes immigrants. And so my comment would be, so you're going to plan on cashing in all the Vatican goodies, you know, all the artwork and all the wealth that the Vatican has accumulated to help them. And tear down that wall over there in Vatican City. Anyway, the article goes on. Pope Francis's idea that Americans would be better off under a world government doesn't stop there. The radical leftist pontiff also went on record stating that Europe should become one country under one government. Wow. And that sounds great. You know, one political leader and one religious leader. You know, it's a lot of what he says really does sound like something the false prophet would say. One world government and, you know, Europe becoming one country. It's just amazing, if you've studied prophecy for any amount of time, to hear these kind of things being said publicly. Anyway, the article finishes with this statement. So many events are happening in such a short period of time. Emmanuel Macron comes out of nowhere to rule France as a Roman god. Now he is meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu to discuss safety and security for Israel, which, of course, you know, that is what the Antichrist is going to promise Israel when he comes. So that's what she's getting at. She's not saying she knows that this is the Antichrist. But again, you just, you know, you can't help but wonder. And I don't speculate on those type of things very far at all. But I do believe we're living very close to the return of the Lord. It says, and now the leftist globalist Pope of Rome suggests that America needs to be ruled by a world government. I believe that we are close, she says, Jerry says, to our blessed hope. I'm not a date setter. Only God knows when he will tell Jesus to go and get us. But I am observant of world events and how they line up with Bible prophecy. And, you know, there's certainly a lot to think about there, folks. I would say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Now, the next article I wanted to refer to, again, along the lines of the one world religion, which, you know, earlier article, you know, alluded to last week that I was talking about, at least the article from concerning the Pope. This, once again, and of course, what I was just reading, alluding to the one world government. But anyway, this one is called Reformed Church Body Signs Declaration on Justification to Overcome Divisions with Catholic Church. And this was on the Lighthouse Trails Research blog. And really, the comments originally came from Roger Oakland, and then Michael Grabowski from the Christian Post added some more information to this. Anyway, Roger says, the move toward an ecumenical unity with Rome by denominations that were once part of the Reformation is now almost been accomplished. For a Protestant leader to say that there is no difference between what the Roman Catholic Church teaches about salvation and what the Bible teaches is totally absurd. Certainly, this is a clear sign of the great falling away that the Bible warns about. Deception in the last days, folks. Now, Michael Grabowski writes, a worldwide coalition of Reformed churches representing approximately 80 million Christians has signed on to an ecumenical statement with the Roman Catholic Church to overcome divisions from the time of the Protestant Reformation. The World Communion of Reformed Churches signed a joint declaration on the doctrine of justification with Catholic, Lutheran, and Methodist leaders last week at a church in Wittenberg, Germany. The declaration stated that mutual condemnations pronounced by the two sides during the Reformation do not apply to their current teaching on justification. So, you know, we have, as I've said before, the ecumenical movement bringing false Christian bodies together, and the interfaith movement bringing false Christian bodies together with false religions. And a very interesting article, amazing, amazing information coming out here. The next article, Catholic churches in Jerusalem blame Israel for Muslim violence, deny the biblical roots of the Temple Mount. And this article is by Adam Berkowitz, and this is from the Breaking Israeli News. Okay, he quotes Isaiah 5:20, those who call evil good and good evil, who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter. And that is a powerful scripture. Beware, you know, for those who call evil good and good evil. This, so much of that is taking place in these days. The article says, amid the intensifying battles surrounding the Temple Mount, the Catholic Church expressed its concerns in terms that placed the blame entirely on Israel while referring to the site exclusively by its Muslim name. One bishop stated in an interview on Vatican Radio that there has in fact been no Palestinian violence. On Sunday, Pope Francis addressed the crowd gathered in the Vatican's St. Peter's Square, telling them that he viewed with trepidation the grave tensions and violence surrounding the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. I feel the need to express a distressed appeal for moderation and dialogue, the Pope said, calling on the people to pray for the sake of Jerusalem. The violence the Pope was referring to began 10 days ago when three Palestinian terrorists murdered two Druze Israeli policemen. The Druze are, you know, a religious sect in Israel, but they were Israeli policemen. While they guarded the entrance to the Temple Mount, the Israeli police entered the site and, after a gun battle, killed the three terrorists. The Israeli government closed the site to all visitors until Sunday, when it reopened to Muslims with increased security measures that included walk-through metal detectors. This is a statement from a Haram Ash-Sharif. We, the heads of churches in Jerusalem, express our serious concern regarding recent escalation in violent developments around Haram Ash-Sharif. Got the wrong name there. That was actually the site. But anyway, and our grief for the loss of human life and strongly condemn any act of violence, the statement read. The statement was from the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, okay? It said that the violence was due solely to a change in the status quo, that is, placing metal detectors at the entrances to the Temple Mount. So it doesn't matter what the Israelis do. Of course, they're going to be condemned for it when they're just trying to preserve their life. Anyway, the final statement from this article is from a bishop, Munib Yuanan, head of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Jordan and the Holy Land. He said on Vatican Radio that the metal detectors are a form of collective punishment which should not be permitted because of an attack on two persons. Well, this individual of this church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Jordan, I didn't look it up, but I would tend to believe that this is probably, you know, part of the Evangelical Church of America, which I spoke of last week and have spoke of somewhat in the past, which is a very liberal church. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of America is one of those very liberal denominations, which I've been talking about throughout my series on liberalism. Now, the final article concerning the Pope and the Catholic Church, which is quite interesting, is titled Vatican Drama, Former Pope Slams Current Pope, by Amy Marino. And this is from Truth Feed, the site called Truth Feed. And, you know, to me, it sounds like a smackdown at the Vatican, if you'll excuse the wrestling or martial arts terminology here. You know, a smackdown at the Vatican. Let's get ready to rumble. Now, this article says the emeritus Pope Benedict just slammed the current pope by saying the Catholic Church is about to capsize. It says the current pope, Francis, recently slammed Trump supporters and is an open-border socialist who pushes forced Islamic migration, all while hiding safely behind his walls with his private army. The Catholic Church is a boat, and this part of this article is from Breitbart. The Catholic Church is a boat on the verge of capsizing, said Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI in a personal message for the funeral mass of his close friend, Cardinal Joachim Meisner, on Saturday. Given his inability to travel, the usually silent retired pope delivered the message in writing and had it read aloud in the Cologne Cathedral by his personal secretary, Archbishop George Ganswein, who also serves as prefect of the papal household for Pope Francis. In the text, Benedict said that Cardinal Meisner found it difficult to leave his post, especially at a time in which the church stands in particularly pressing need of convincing shepherds who can resist the dictatorship of the spirit of the age and who live and think the faith with determination. Now, I'm no fan of the Catholic Church, of course, but you can see there's a wide breach here between the former conservative, you know, politically conservative pope and Francis, the very liberal pope. The article goes on, notably, Cardinal Meisner was one of the four cardinals who presented a series of questions or dubia to Pope Francis last September, asking him to clarify five serious doctrinal doubts proceeding from his 2016 apostolic exhortation. When Pope Francis failed to respond to the dubia, the four cardinals published their questions publicly last November. The Holy Father has decided not to respond, they wrote. We have interpreted his sovereign decision as an invitation to continue the reflection and the discussion calmly and with respect. So, that wraps up the articles that I wanted to present in case you missed them. Very fascinating times we're living in. Now, I want to go on. I want to move on now to other areas of spiritual deception in the last days and other deception issues. Now, you may have heard of Marianne Williamson. She's an Oprah Winfrey regular, or has been in the past. And, you know, I get notifications from an assortment of heretics, spiritual frauds, false prophets, etc. And I got this recently from Marianne Williamson's site. And I thought you might find it interesting. I found it pretty fascinating. I've followed and known about her for many years. But I think it's a relative issue. Sorry, I was just distracted there. Anyway, moving right along. Okay. She Marianne Williamson sent a email to her constituency here on the internet, and I've got this in my emails. Anyway, it goes on to say that Marianne lectures live and via live stream every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. from Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. It says, in each lecture, Marianne discusses the basic principles of A Course in Miracles and how we can apply them in practical ways to the issues of everyday life. And we'll look a little bit more at the Course in Miracles, if you're not familiar with it, a little bit later. But the thing that struck me about this was that she does these lectures from the Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. Now, if that rings a bell with you, if that sounds familiar, it's probably because Norman Vincent Peale pastored there from 1932 to 1984. And he will be, I will speak more about Norman Vincent Peale in the second half of this heretical sandwich here of these two alumni of the Marble Collegiate Church. But so I want to spend our time, the rest of our time, concerning Marianne Williamson. And first of all, just a few words about this Marble Collegiate Church. It says that it was founded in 1628, is one of the oldest continuous Protestant congregations in North America. The congregation, which is part of the United Church of Christ and the Reformed Church in America, is located in New York City, Manhattan. And the United Church of Christ is actually a very liberal denomination. It's a church that I visited, one of the UCC or United Church of Christ, when I lived in Tulsa, and I shared my experiences with that little trip on an earlier podcast some time ago. So very, very liberal denomination. Not surprising that Norman Vincent Peale would end up there. Now, the article goes on, and this is from Wikipedia. Norman Vincent Peale, the noted author of The Power of Positive Thinking, served as senior minister from 1932 to 1984. Under his ministry, Marble's influence reached national levels and became known as America's hometown church. I would probably say it might be better described as the Hotel California, if you're familiar with the rock tune by the Eagles about the spirit that inhabited that place. But anyway, moving along here, the man who replaced Vincent Peale, Arthur Calandrio, he served 25 years. And then Michael Brown, who was the former pastor of Centenary United Methodist Church in North Carolina, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, is, of course, from the United Methodist Church, another very liberal church. And so it would figure that they would find someone from another liberal denomination to relieve the other two pastors that preceded them. Now, of course, Hillary Clinton attended and has been a part of the United Methodist Church, so that should tell you a lot. Okay, now the church takes an affirm approach to same-gender relationships and non-cisgender identities. This includes the performing of same-sex marriage ceremonies, a designated queer fellowship, GIFTS, G-I-F-T-S, which I think is a similar name for a so-called ministry at the All Saints Episcopal Church I spoke of in Pasadena. Not sure. But anyway, annual participation in the New York City Gay Pride Parade and sermons and material on the church website encouraging a modern scholarly view of Scripture in opposition to the conservative Protestant belief in God's literal and inerrant word, which results in heteronormative and arguably homophobic interpretations. You know, what a surprise that this church would take that type of stand. And here you have Marianne Williamson lecturing there, spreading New Age material. And just a little bit, because it's the Course in Miracles has been around for a long time, and it's one of those things that you're probably somewhat familiar with. Course in Miracles, I have an article from the site Let Us Reason, which is Mike Oppenheimer's site. And I met Mike in Hawaii as I was traveling through on my way on a missions trip. He was a ex-New Ager himself. He was converted and, or at least influenced, when he heard Dave Hunt speak, as I recall. So Dave Hunt, who was an expert on many areas of deception, particularly New Age movement, I would say, helped bring this man, Mike Oppenheimer, to the Lord. But anyway, Mike does a great job, and I recommend his site, Let Us Reason. And so this is from his site, and these are some of the comments that are made about Course in Miracles, particularly their heretical view of the atonement of Christ. It says the Course teaches the very opposite of Jesus' purpose to come to earth to rescue mankind. The atonement is the final lesson he, man, needs to learn, for it teaches him that, never having sinned, he has no need of salvation. Of course, that's blasphemy. The mimicking Christian Science, the Course denies, you know, Christian Science, of course, is another Gnostic cult. The Course in Miracles is a Gnostic or a neo-Gnostic type movement or document. And I'll get a little bit more, say a little bit more about that in a minute. Mimicking Christian Science, the Course denies the only way to be reconciled through God by his death on the cross. Okay, denies the only way to be reconciled through God is by his death on the cross. This should not be surprising, as William Thetford, who was instrumental in the publication of the Course, was raised in the Christian Science Church. Okay, mocking the cross as a way to salvation comes not from God, but the enemy of God. The accuser is Satan, the devil. And William Thetford is not the man who wrote this, and I'll again mention more about that in a minute because I see I don't have a lot of time left. Marianne Williamson, she gave the Course national attention when she was featured in Time magazine, called the Mother Teresa for the 90s by some of her supporters. Williamson is one of the best-known promoters of the Course, And since then, it has become popular in Hollywood and accepted by the public. Numerous celebrities have learned the course's metaphysical wisdom through Williamson, Cher, Barbara Streisand, Anthony Perkins, Leslie Ann Warren, and the list, you know, goes on. she was an Oprah Winfrey talk show guest February the 4th. Oprah told her 14 million viewers she had experienced 157 miracles in her life as a direct result of reading Williams's first book, A Return to Love. As a result, her first printing sold out that day and propelled the book to number one on the New York Times self-help bestseller list. Williamson states, "For that, my deepest thanks to Oprah Winfrey. Her enthusiasm and generosity have given the book and me an audience we would have never otherwise have had." It's amazing how much Oprah Winfrey has spread New Age heresy and occultism. Okay, the article goes on. Williamson claims that A Course in Miracles was her personal path out of hell since its first printing in 1976. It has sold some 850,000 copies and has spawned over 1,000 study groups in the U.S. and abroad. As Williamson put it, no religion has a monopoly on the greatest story ever told. Williamson believes her message appeals to people who seek Jesus, but without the judgment, the guilt, the punitive doctrine. She also claims you can find truth anywhere. It sounds a little bit like the emergent church to me. One of the authors had a book called, you know, Those Who Love Jesus Christ, but Not the Church. Anyway, goes on to say Buddhism, Carl Jung, Abraham Lincoln, Gandhi, Star Wars, or any religion. You know, you can find truth anywhere. And this falls into the thinking that all truth is God's truth. But the truth is subjective since it is left up to the individual what they consider false, if anything. Not the objective truth, of course, of the Word of God. Okay. Recently, I read an article in our local paper. This is what Mike said in the Honolulu Weekly, where there was creating caring community in the Hilton Hawaiian Village. It was reported Williamson thinks our islands as a center of psychic energy, the heart chakra of the planet. And, you know, when I talk about Norman Vincent Peale next week, you'll hear a lot about energy and his views on spiritual energy. Very strange stuff. Williamson believes we are holy beings, individual cells in the body of Christ. Putting the Course in her own words, even if it takes another name, even if he takes another face, he is in essence the truth of who we are. Jesus and other enlightened masters are our evolutionary elder brothers. In the same way New Agers view Christ consciousness, she states the concept of a divine or Christ mind is the idea at our core we are not just identical but actually the same being. There's only one of us here. The idea of panentheism, that we're all interconnected in the divine being. It's really, one can view the Course as a frontal attack on the Bible's literal interpretation, a denial of the Bible and the historic church's held belief based on Scripture that man's problem is sin, and that we are in need of a Savior. It is New Age, occultic, and a synthesizing of all beliefs, preparing people for a one-world religion in which Jesus is just one of many teachers with the truth. Well, I'm out of time. I have one other little article I will share about Marianne Williamson next week, and then we'll talk about Norman Vincent Peale and the connections with the Marble Collegiate Church. God bless you all. Good night.